Welcome on back to Career Explorers. It is our podcast here at Hartford Community College dedicated to you, the explorer. We talk with people right here in Hartford County living the job, and they give you a window into the profession. So let's say you've got creative skills and you're a great communicator, you're a team player, and you've got some analytical abilities, and you like seeing businesses grow. Well, you're already ticking some big boxes right there that might signal you could have a career in marketing. With me today on the show is our information specialist and CEO of Red Ball Consultants, Victoria Yassim. Victoria, thanks so much for coming on to Career Explorers.
Well, thanks for having me, Matt. I appreciate it.
So glad to have you here. And I just kind of want to dive into this. And this is something that I ask everybody because it's unique to everybody. Tell me a little bit about how your journey happened into the marketing profession.
Oh, gosh, that is a loaded question.
Is it?
It is okay. A loaded question. So I think essentially what I would want the listeners to kind of go away with at this point is it's okay to be unconventional.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
So essentially, I dropped out of college and I was working full time. And I actually, when I was married with a mortgage and a full-time job, I went back to college and finished my degree, and then I started my company.
Okay.
So I think everyone's going to find their own journey and their own path.
Sure.
And it is what it is, and you're going to get there, and you're going to get there the way that you're supposed to get there.
Right, exactly.
Right? But so I started my career in marketing, honestly working in retail. So I was a retail store manager for like 10 years, and I had to do grassroots marketing for the stores that I was working in. And then when I was in college, I took like marketing courses and communications courses. And I don't know if I'm answering your question or not. But.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I love this. I love it.
And so like my story is very loaded questions, very unconventional. But essentially for Red Ball, we started about 3 years ago, like right before the pandemic. And, you know, things just kind of took off, and we've got an office space now and employees and clients all over the coastline. And, you know, it's very crazy, and it's really exciting.
You know, you mentioned that right before the pandemic, because yeah, that really did change the way the world does everything.
Oh, absolutely.
The way it did business, the way it shopped, the way it interacted with people, the way we did business and marketing.
Oh, too. Absolutely.
So let me just kind of, you know, spitball off of that just a little bit. How has the marketing landscape changed since COVID?
So everything, and I'm sure everyone listening now probably is listening to this on their phone, to be quite honest.
It's very possible. It's possible.
Yeah. It went a lot more digital.
Okay.
I would say, because when everyone was, you know, stuck inside doing COVID, all of the things, you were on your Facebook, you're on Instagram, your Twitter, whatever platforms you were on, communicating with people. And then Zoom became such a big deal too. And a lot of the stuff just went digitally. So I'm not saying that print media and, you know, commercials and that kind of stuff is irrelevant, because it's not. It's absolutely not.
Right, right.
But I think like it opened up a really big section of the marketing and advertising market. So don't get me wrong, COVID sucked. Like it sucked everyone.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. But I think a lot of opportunity came from that as well. And I think like finding, at least for us, we found a market that worked for what we were doing and what we wanted to do. And we just took advantage of it. And so when we started Red Ball, it was honestly supposed to be a sales training company. And essentially what that meant was, so it was supposed to be a sales training company because I have 15 years of sales and marketing experience, right? And I did a lot of like B2B sales for a commercial cleaning company. I worked in like security, all kinds of stuff, right? So I kept sitting down with people and they were like, how do I do my job? And it was sales reps who didn't really know how to do their job. Like their boss was very operationally driven. And you can't have a company without sales and marketing.
Right.
It was, I think it was like a radio show or something I was listening to at one point a long time ago. And they're like, you can't just open your doors and be like, I'm here.
Right.
Like you have to actually get the name out there. You have to get your products and services and like why you stand out and all the other, you know, marketing and sales efforts that you'd have to have. But
precisely. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the company was supposed to start off is like me going into businesses and teaching their sales reps how to do their job. Well, it does never work out the way that you think it's going.
No, never, never.
No. So I wound up like finding somebody who worked in social media. And originally I was just going to like kind of contract that out. And it was just going to be like a thing, right? Like it wasn't going to be a main focus of the company. And it took off. Honestly, like our very first client was a social media client. And we just kind of went from there. And the past 3 years have been a lot of growth and understanding and pivoting, because things are constantly changing with Facebook, Instagram, you know, Pinterest, Twitter, TikTok. Oh my gosh.
Oh boy.
TikTok.
Isn't that a loaded TikTok. Thing?
Can I tell you?
Sure.
I have a TikTok for my dog.
You have a TikTok
I do.
For the dog.
You can follow her at Isla's Adventures.
Okay.
Isla's Adventures. Okay. I have a Rottweiler and it's just the dumb stuff that she does. And I was like, why not, right? Like,
sure.
Why not? I just want a BarkBox. That's all I want.
There you go.
Yeah, if someone's working for a BarkBox and they can get me one, like, that would be amazing.
You know, I think there's cats that are on YouTube that are more famous, you know, than some radio show hosts in today's world.
Absolutely.
You know? They're so, like, I know that kitty.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I was just like, why not? So we have she's almost a year old now, but she just, like, we've had dogs forever. So I decided one day to, like, make her a TikTok. It's like take it all.
But, you know, and I love that story, because isn't that just kind of how marketing goes?
Well, that's kind of the thing. Yeah.
And that's where I feel that you're leading to this, too, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to just kind of reiterate what you were saying. I've heard it said that marketing really is the lifeblood of a business and a brand. I mean, is that pretty accurate?
I would say 100%. You can't even sell anything until you know your brand voice, right?
Right.
And that's one of the things that we do with our clients. We figure out, like, their avatar.
Your avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like
and
that.
No, it's not the little blue people.
No, oh, it's not.
Or the big blue people, I guess. I never really watched Avatar, to be honest with you.
Something from James Cameron.
Yeah,
yes,
something.
The extreme.
But essentially what an avatar is, it is like your customer profile.
Okay.
Right. So if you are a HVAC company, right?
Okay.
You really have to think about, like, okay, who exactly am I marketing to? Because you have niches, but then you can kind of funnel that down a little bit more to an exact person.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that we work with. And essentially what we're doing is talking to that person through marketing, because you can't blanket market. It doesn't work.
Right.
Like you can't, you know, not everyone's going to watch my Rottweiler puppies TikToks because people don't like dogs, right?
Sure.
I don't know who they are or why they don't like dogs, but some people just don't like dogs.
Who
right?
are these people? What
why
are they?
Are you here? But it's, you know, figuring out like who exactly you're targeting. So like for an example, a client of ours is a HVAC client. We sat down with them and really figured out, like, their ideal customer is a female, married, homeowner, two kids, probably stay-at-home mom, you know, and, like, really all of those deciding factors, because things hit people differently than they would, right? So things appeal to me differently than they would appeal to you.
Sure.
And it's just because of our demographic.
Sure.
I am a mom, a female, a wife, a homeowner, a dog mom, business owner, right? But like your profile is totally different, right? So that's one of the things that we really try and figure out. And that's such like a backbone in marketing, because people just throw stuff out there and they're just like, oh yeah, this I can market to everyone. No, you can't.
All right.
No, you can't.
Right, right. So if I'm hearing you correctly, it's kind of like when you're designing and developing an application. Those digital designers have to know their end user first.
Absolutely, and that's pretty much what it is.
Knowing your audience, knowing mm-hmm. that end user, and then you know a lot better who your target audience is, right? Who
yeah.
who your niche is. Because otherwise, like you were saying, it's just kind of throwing things against a wall, seeing if it sticks,
and
right?
it's a waste of time and money, right? So for everybody that's listening who's thinking about like how to get into a certain marketing field or digital marketing, advertising, like whatever the case may be, that's one of the main things that you can probably say in an interview, right? Like if someone comes to you and says like, how would you market this, whatever this is? And I'm holding up like an iPhone charger. Whatever this is, right?
Right.
So kind of figuring out like who the avatar is. Like, okay, it's white, it's seamless. Like you probably would market it to a person who has a decent amount of money or, you know, like kind of like breaking it down and just being more knowledgeable about that. And I think a lot of the times marketing efforts don't work out because people don't actually take the time to think about it. And so many videos and so many different things are going viral, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's selling. Like I was actually watching some TikTok came up on my TikTok feed. I don't remember what it was. It was like one of those boutique shops. I think they made lip gloss, something like that, right? And it said in the caption, like, just because we have millions of views doesn't necessarily mean we're making a ton of money. And I was like, and that's what people don't understand about marketing. Just because a lot of people are seeing it doesn't mean that it's equating to sales. And so kind of like niching down a little bit and figuring out exactly who you're marketing to and speaking to that person directly is going to make a huge difference. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And I just kind of want to capitalize on that just a little bit. There's quite a bit to the science of marketing, really. So can you give me a glance at maybe some of the different positions that are out there in marketing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So there's, oh my gosh, there's so many different things that you can do. So just on the social media side, you have like a content creator, social media coordinator. Content creator would be the person who's actually creating the graphics and the videos and like that stuff that you see. Content coordinator or social media coordinator would be the person who's like an account manager. And these are all marketing positions, right? So essentially, like, just because you're not creating content doesn't mean you're not in marketing. Sales is a marketing position as well. That is the face of a company, right?
Absolutely.
You have somebody running around trying to sell a company's product or service. Everything about them is a marketing value.
Right.
the way they act, the way they talk, the way they look, the way they carry themselves, all the way down to like, I'm wearing a branded sweatshirt right now.
It's a great sweatshirt. I like that. It's Red Ball Consultant sweatshirt. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, things like that, like if you show up to an event and you look like a hot mess, people aren't going to necessarily take your company seriously.
Sure.
So even sales positions, there's outsourced CMOs, chief marketing officer, where you are looking at like a strategy. There's so many different positions on like the marketing side, not even the advertising side, where you have like account management. You have like the creation of commercials, radio ads, TV ads, all that kind of stuff. And then you have management too, though, right? You need somebody to manage all of those positions.
Absolutely.
So if I were to actually, I'll do this. If I were to go back to school and re-get my degree, knowing what I know now.
Okay. All right.
I would take, one, all the internships you can get your hands on. All of them.
I was about to ask, how all big a part is internship in this field?
And the second thing would be, get your hands on as many digital marketing classes as you possibly can and management classes. So even if you go into a field in marketing, you don't necessarily have to have a marketing degree. My degree is in communications. Like it, I think as long as you know how to communicate properly, it's going to be helpful. But I wish I would have taken like digital marketing as a thing. But so here's the thing though, Matt, like you can still do courses online. Like you don't have to do them through your college, right? Like there's different platforms that you can use to kind of like better your education. And my team and I take classes all the time in the office. We straight up pull the couch up in front of the TV. I get snacks and we get drinks and we take online classes together.
So you're never stopping the learning process.
You never stop learning. You never stop. I'm always learning something new every day.
I love that. I love that because you're not just challenging yourself. You know, you are literally taking in all of the new aspects of the occupation.
From like a customer perspective, if I like pretend you come into me and you're trying to sell me like a marketing service or you're trying to talk to me about a marketing strategy and I say, well, what about X, Y, and Z? And you're like, like things are changing constantly. Like TikTok algorithms, TikTok content, Facebook content, just the digital marketing side, right? But even marketing as a whole, you should never stop learning. You should always be learning from like the best of the best. So even looking into like BetterHelp books, like, you know, the E-Myth Revisited is about entrepreneurship. So if you have an interest in entrepreneurship, go learn all the things that you can get your hands on about it. But to go back to the classes, I would retake as many marketing classes as I possibly could, anything on digital marketing, because it's not going away. And the more you know when you go in for an interview, the better.
Right.
Right. Any management classes, any entrepreneurial classes. And the thing is, even if you don't want to get into that, I still think it's going to encompass business as a whole, which is where you're trying to get a job to begin with.
So plenty of room to move around the field.
Absolutely.
Right.
And you're more well-rounded, I think.
And it sounds like many different spheres kind of coming together. Digital marketing, you're looking at the possibility for people in maybe the IT field if they want to do
absolutely.
A career switch. People in journalism, there's writing involved with marketing. So it sounds like media students, my gosh, you know, communication students, are you listening? Talking with Victoria Yassim from Red Ball Consultants today on the show. She's my information specialist. And we're talking about marketing today on Career Explorers. If you are just joining or scrubbing through our interview, as sometimes people tend to do on podcasts,
good.
It is.
It's all good.
So let's say that I'm a creative type, right? I'm this team player. What kind of person am I if I want to be fit for the marketing world? What's my mindset look like?
So here's my thought. And granted, I am not the end all be all of marketing. I've just been in the business world, the marketing world, the sales world for a lot of my life. If you are open to learning new things and you are open to constructive feedback, I think that's going to be the biggest traits that you can have, because you can, and being attention to detail, definitely. I personally think a lot of creative people tend to just be like, let's do it, and they don't actually sit there and be more meticulous about things. At least I am.
Sure. No, that's great.
Because when you're creating content, you're just like so excited, or when you're doing the creative, whether it be a print ad or whatever. But that's why you have like other people in the company who can kind of take a second look at it and make sure like everything's spelled correctly, whatever. I am personally horrible at punctuation, spelling. It's gotten so bad, Matt.
Well, no, that's actually a really good idea. You know,
yeah,
that's a great
it's
sentiment.
The truth.
You know, we don't know everything in the world, but surround yourself with the people, you know, a good set of people that have different skill sets, because what one person maybe not has in abundance, the other does.
Oh, yeah.
So it sounds like really a good team environment when you work.
Oh, absolutely.
And marketing.
A team player is going to be huge, because if you're getting into it and this is kind of like your first rodeo, mm-hmm. you're going to want to be friends essentially with anyone you can in the new company and learn as much as you can from them. And the reason I say all that is I just hired a girl who graduated college with a degree in marketing. She's never done social media marketing before, but she's literally like, I want to learn everything I can. So I'm taking her on sales appointments with me. I'm taking her to do all the things that aren't necessarily in her job description, but I'm like, look, girl, you want to learn? Like, let's teach you. And a lot of the times people will do that. They will take you under their wing, because we've all been there, right?
Right.
Like, there's always something you wish you would have done different or better, or, you know, don't get me wrong, I am grateful for all of the stuff that I did wrong, because it taught me how to do it all right and how to be more efficient with different things and build my character and all of that stuff. But I think, to go back to your original question after this tangent, essentially, be open to learning.
Right.
Be open to constructive feedback, and also be open to working in a team.
So let me ask this, this last follow-up question on that. Can they shadow you? Do you invite those students to come and learn under your wing?
Like me personally?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Call me.
Okay. That's great.
If I can. I mean, it's...
If you have the room, you have the room, but you do allow people to shadow and to intern, correct?
Yeah, I do have an intern. She is getting her degree in graphic design. Uh-huh. And so I actually do have a podcast, me and another marketing professional. She's a really good friend of mine. She does advertising. And like, so where we do marketing, she does the advertising side. And we started a podcast. Julia, my intern, actually helps a lot with the graphic design for the podcast. She helped like create our logo and, you know, a lot of like really fun stuff like that. So any chance that I can bring someone in to kind of help them experience new things, totally down for it.
Where do they reach you at?
You can email me at victoria@redballconsultants.com.
And I have no doubt that they're going to learn a ton with you. So you hear that. Intern early, intern often, and there's places that you, the student, can learn and learn on the job. And, you know, I was bound to ask this next question, because people always want to know, how much money am I going to make? How much money am I going to make?
Oh, gosh.
You know, and it can vary. I say go for your strengths, mm-hmm. you know, and the money will follow. But, you know, that's always something that people want to know right off the bat. You know, how much am I going to make? How much am I going to make? So tell me, what's kind of like, what are we looking at, you know, for like average salary in marketing?
So I think it depends on where you are, right? Like most of your career, the people listening to this podcast would probably start on like the ground level, entry level.
Sure.
I would say you're probably looking at like 35 to 40, maybe. But there's so many varying factors, right? Like what size company do you work for? How much experience do you have? Do you have a degree? Which doesn't necessarily matter if you're willing to learn, but it, you know, people want to see that. That's a very loaded question. But obviously, as you move up, and you can move up pretty quickly in the marketing field, as you move up, the more money you'll make. But I would say don't get too caught up on the number. Start looking more at the experience that you're going to get.
Right. Right.
And do we all want to get out of college and make up $1 trillion? Yeah. Heck yes.
Sure,
I'm up. Right.
Sure.
I'll go back to college.
So
I think patience when it comes to the financial part. is going to be very, very helpful. Like, just take a job that you can get where you think you can grow with the company, where you can learn, and where you have a boss that's going to help you get to that next step. And, like, you'll get there. I think you just need experience.
Look for mentorships.
Mm-hmm. Internships.
Like, internships. That's mentorships.
That's going to be the basis of this episode. Internships. Go get into it. You know what? Honestly, Matt, I never had an internship in college.
Really?
I never took one. And I think it's because I went to college so unconventionally. Like, I was always working. And so I never quite figured out, like, where I could kind of fit that in, you know?
Right.
But I never did one. And I honestly think if I would have done it, I would have been a lot farther.
Okay. All right.
Because I had to learn all the things that I didn't know that I didn't know.
So do you hear that? The value of internships. How often do we say that here at 91.1 WHFC to our students? We say it often. I'll say it again. Intern, internship.
Intern.
And she just said it again. You can't say it enough. So sounds like work-life balance, pretty good? Pretty in the marketing world?
For the most part, I would say, yeah. Now, if you do the crazy like I did and open up your own firm, then that's another conversation altogether.
Okay. All right.
But I think if you have, you know, the right people on your team who are there to support you and team personally and professionally too, right? Like, I'm very fortunate that I have a husband who actually supports what I do, and he's willing to kind of watch our 3.5-year-old if I need to go to a meeting late at night or go to a happy hour or whatever, like, to kind of grow the business. But also, I do drag him to a lot of things. But if I didn't have that support and I was doing this by myself completely with my daughter, like, it would definitely be a lot harder. But as far as, like, an actual marketing position goes, realistically, unless something happens on accident, like an inappropriate picture gets posted or like something's going to print and there's an edit that needs to be made, or, you know, something crazy like that. Like, realistically, I would say it's a pretty good work-life balance. I think a lot of it depends on the job you wind up taking. A lot of people now, and this is how I am with my employees, I tell them all the time, I don't care when you do your work, just make sure it's done and it's done right. And I hold them to that. So I don't know if that's helpful at all, but
no, it's great.
I think it definitely depends on where you work and who you're working for.
And, you know, you mentioned starting your own company.
Gosh.
I mean, you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner.
I am.
Can you talk to me? Saying it so lovingly. Can you just take me maybe a little bit from, like, the perspective of a business owner in Harford County?
Yeah.
Like, what are some of the issues that marketing firms are kind of facing these days?
I'm just going to go on this tangent because why not, right?
Why not?
So one of the biggest things that we have to do is set expectations with clients. And it's not so much the business owner portion. It's because we do digital marketing, but people see stuff go viral and they're like, why am I not making $1 million? And it's like, that's not necessarily what it is. So this goes back to learning, right?
Sure.
Understanding the platforms that we're using and how they work so we can set expectations with clients and have better relationships with them overall. Because if we come in and say, Matt, I'm going to do your TikTok and you're going to be a millionaire in 6 months. And it's 7 months and you're like, why am I not a millionaire? Then that's going to be an issue. And I think at least in our market, like what we do as digital marketers, there's a lot of that going around. There's a lot of other companies that do that. So for us, setting expectations, the way that we've built our brand and being a business owner in Harford County itself, it's great.
Great. That's wonderful.
We have an office space in Forest Hill. It's a cute little office. My team and I love it. There's a lot of opportunity. Like, I wouldn't say that there's any struggles, but I'm usually pretty optimistic as it is.
Right.
So the sky is not going to fall today, Matt. I'm sorry. but I think it's honestly, like, being an entrepreneur in Harford County, there's a lot of support, right? The Harford County Chamber has been phenomenal. Angie, Natalie is one of the team members at the Harford County Chamber, and they have, it's called Mentor Access, and it helps business owners kind of, you know, get free resources to kind of help get their stuff up and running.
That's great.
So if you were just like, I don't even know where to start, like, you know, or you just started and you want to kind of get a little bit more help with getting into the community, like, Natalie's a great resource. But they're great resources, and there's a lot of support in this area for sure.
So I just want to ask this last question here.
Yeah.
You've told me so much. I mean, education requirements, you know, I could have a degree, I could have worked in sales and have those transferable skills kind of translate into the marketing world. So there's training. People can be trained for this profession. Open that window for me just a little bit. I walk into my job. I'm in marketing. What's kind of like that day-to-day look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. So usually my team, they come in, and I personally don't require them to come to the office. One of them can work from home. One of them comes to the office because she's like, I want to get out of my house.
Hey, it's flexibility.
So it's fine. It's
flexibility.
Yeah. It tends to be pretty flexible. And at least in the digital marketing side, you can do almost all of it remotely unless you have to go on site and film or take pictures or something like that. So usually the day-to-day is like for them, not for me, because my life is totally different than just a content creator. They come in, they answer emails, and then we kind of talk about like what they need to do for that day or what kind of training they're going to have or what kind of filming they have or whatever. And then we have a whole process internally for clients, and it just depends on where they are in that process. So, I mean, really, it depends on what kind of industry you're in marketing. For content creation, though, it's you come in and you just start being creative right away. And it's really cool.
Wow.
It's a lot of fun, yeah.
So hear that, arts and humanities students, you know, you very well could have a future in marketing. I really want to thank my special guest today on Career Explorers, Victoria Yassim. She's the CEO of Red Ball Consultants. Thanks so much, Victoria, for coming on to the show. Loved every minute of it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Please like and subscribe to all three of HCC's official podcasts. It's HCC 360, Feedback, and this one, WHFC Presents for Career Explorers. I'm Matt Terry. Stay curious, Hartford.